So great to be able to come back on a Sunday evening and worship and glorify our God in heaven. Amen. Amen. And we thank you for being here tonight, and we pray that God will bless you as a result of you being here. It has been an absolutely beautiful day, and God has blessed us and given us every opportunity to gather together and to honor Him and to be able to associate with each other, those of us with like precious faith. You know, we all shoot at targets every now and then. Whether you're shooting a BB gun or a 30-30 or whatever it happens to be, or if you're an archery fan, then you do the same thing. If you throw darts, you do it. Sometimes the more we attempt to hit the target, the more elusive it actually becomes. But if you work with it and you keep trying, then you will eventually hit the bullseye. Now, I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about the bullseye, or the target that we shoot at. It's just simply a figure of speech. We say to one another sometimes, "Have you ever hit the bullseye?" I don't know how many of you have ever done that. If you were shooting at something that you got right in the middle, whether it was with an arrow or a gun or whatever it happens to be, it is the center of the target and generally worth the most points if you're shooting darts. Now, it requires the most skill to accomplish. That's not an easy thing. A lot of times people think, well, they can just pick up a dart and throw it, and you think it's going to hit that bullseye, but it doesn't. It goes way off. Sometimes it may not even stick on the board at all. Well, it is what all skilled players are trying to achieve, isn't it? Is to hit the bullseye. Most try, but very few are able to accomplish that one little feat. We'd like to be able to do this, but it just doesn't always happen. It doesn't. So tonight I want us to examine some of what we call right on target statements that are found in the Bible. You know, there's so many things that we read today in the Word of God that just really applies unto us. Sometimes people will walk out the back and say to me, "You know, that sermon really hit me right between the eyes." Well, I wasn't really trying to hit you in the eyes or between the eyes. I was trying to hit your heart with the Word of God. And that's what we all ought to be doing in life. But what do we mean by right on target statements that are found in the Bible? Well, what hits the bullseye today in terms of right on things? Well, number one, I want to talk to you a little bit about the fact that sin begins in the heart. Now, that's why I told you I was shooting at your heart, and because that's where we ought to be. In the book of Matthew 5, 29 and 30, if your right eye causes you to sin, now these are the words of Jesus. He said, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable, he says, for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? That's logic. That's right on target. Now that's exactly what Christ is saying. We know that as human beings that we can live without certain body parts. Some of you maybe have had in your lifetime some of your body parts removed. Maybe your gallbladder, maybe you had a lung or a kidney removed. I know that Glenda Baskin has been through that several times, and we continue to pray for her. But we know that we can live and we can survive and we can offer a great testimony in life when that really happens unto us. And it does. People can live without a leg or without an arm. We have a lot of our soldiers who come back from battle, whether it be in Afghanistan or Iraq, Desert Storm, Vietnam War, whatever. We have a lot of veterans that come back, and we call them wounded warriors. We see that little ad on television quite often. Well, that's what Christ is saying. You become a wounded spiritual warrior. But he says, but if that right eye is causing you to sin and violate the law of God, it is better to get rid of it than to enter into life blind. Now, and that, my friend, is right on target. It is. Now, notice what he says, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Now, Jesus, I know, is going from one extreme to the other here, from the eye down to the hand. But he's really trying to illustrate a point. Sometimes the eye might represent someone who is sitting next to you, or you may be given to a lustful heart. The hand may represent someone that you know, a friend with whom you associate, and the danger of that friend might be that he's leading you away from God, or she is leading you away from God. And so we have to be very, very careful that we make sure that we're doing the will of God. Be careful of your motives. For in Matthew 6, 1 and following, Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them." A lot of people do that. A lot of people give, want others to pat them on the back because of it. And Christ says, don't do that. He says, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. And that, my friend, is right on target too, isn't it? You see where Jesus is talking. He is talking about these issues that we face every day. And serve, these words serve to remind us that, hey, it is possible for us to be lost in a devil's hell, just as it is possible for us to go to heaven and be with God. Therefore, Jesus says, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Now, I've done this before to help you understand this statement of Jesus, and it truly is. It brings a lot of meaning to it. The trumpet actually was a container in which they would cast their coins. They didn't have paper money like we have paper money today, or folding paper money. How many of y'all have folding paper money in your pocket tonight? That's great. We're going to take up a contribution in just a few moments. Just wanted to make sure that we were prepared. Now, but what I was going to tell you, though, about the trumpet is the trumpet resembled a trumpet. A trumpet actually, you know, starts small here, and it opens up like this. And so when they would walk by and they would cast in their coins, it would ring. It'd be kind of like passing the contribution plate and somebody thumping the bottom of it to make it appear that you had put something in. Well, people used to joke about that, but maybe that did happen. I don't know. But I know one thing, that trumpet, was there for a purpose, and people came by. Remember the poor widow? They gave her two mites. She came and pitched in two mites, and Jesus said that she was more blessed and more honored because she gave her very living. She didn't know where the next meal was coming from. She didn't have another dime. She didn't have another shekel to her name. But she gave what she had. But a lot of people want praise for what they do and how they give. They want their name up in lights, maybe because they have given a lot of money to certain things. And that's a wonderful thing. I'm not saying it's wrong to give to things. I think it's a wonderful thing to do it. But our praise should not be here. We should be praised by God. And that's what he's saying here. He said, if your praise is here, then you're only going to receive your reward right here. And he says, assuredly, I say unto you that they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is. Now, what he's saying is not necessarily this hand, naturally, you have one brain, and one brain controls the right hand and the left hand as well. What he's actually talking about there is someone who is sitting on your left and someone who is sitting on your right. And if we're giving for the purpose of a reward here, then you're saying, hey, man, look what I'm giving to God. Or over here, look what I'm giving to God. That's what he's really talking about. So he says, don't worry. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret himself will be the one who rewards you openly. Lay your treasure, he says, up in heaven. Matthew 6, 19 and following here. He says, or 1, 2, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But what do? Where do we lay up our treasures? Most people lay up their treasures right here on this earth, because that's the mentality that we have. It is. Now, but Christ is right on target here. When he talks about what we give and how we give and the right spirit that we have. And notice what he says, where neither moth nor rust destroys. How many of you have ever kept some of your old clothes back and you were thinking, women do this, but men do it too. Sometimes they put a certain garment back because they have gained a little weight, and they say, well, now one of these days I'm going to lose that weight and I'm going to be able to get back down into it. Or men may say the same thing, you never say, boy, these pants are getting a little too loose on me. We don't ever say that, but we say that these pants are getting a little bit too tight on me, and I need to lose a little weight. And you've had them for 10 years already, and your dream has turned into a nightmare. And the moths are eating them up, or they're out of style. You don't want to wear them anymore. And you look back and you say, why did I keep all this? Now, and then he says also about thieves, where they break through and steal. You know, if you have money, you worry about people getting it, or you worry about the fact that you don't have it. And Christ says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he says, don't worry. Don't worry. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That is, don't be overly desirous for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And that, my friend, is right on target, isn't it? That's exactly, if you're doing that, you're doing precisely what God has asked you to do. Don't worry. God is never blind to your tears. He is never deafened to your prayers that you pray. He is never silent to your pain that you may be going through in this life. He sees, he hears, and he will deliver. You will reap what you sow in life. Galatians 6, verse 7 through 10. Paul says, be not deceived. You know what? We have a whole lot of self-deception that goes on in our life. You know, sometimes we want something so bad that we can convince ourselves that it's okay to want it when it really may be a violation of God's law to have it. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And that is right on target. Remember that you will reap what you sow. Whether you reap it, God never did say you're going to reap it necessarily here. But you'll reap it one of these days. If you have sown nothing but evil in your life, you will reap it in hell. But if you have sown to the Spirit, as Paul mentions here, he says you will reap it in glory, will you not? You will. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, he says, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those that are of the household of faith. And, you know, we have to commend you again for your response to the needs that were presented unto us from the horrible hurricane that affected the East Coast. The people over there were most grateful and thankful for the outpouring of love, not only from this congregation, but sister churches of Christ as well. And it left a good impression on those people. That's not why we were doing it. But when they saw the outpouring of what we had done, and even the local paper, and I've had people, you know, there was a nice write-up in the paper about what our church had been doing. I don't know that there was anything else in town about any other church doing it. But they spoke about our church, put a picture in the paper. And by the way, Lisa Tang, who wrote the article, sent me a text this week. I thanked her for it. She said it was an honor to be able to challenge and to let other people know what the Crockett Road Church of Christ was doing to help others. There is a real difference between talk and walk. And she said, you know what? Y'all were walking and even running. If you want to hit the bullseye, listen to the voice of God. And I can tell you how you do that. As I've told you many times, I don't think God speaks to us audibly. I don't think that we really hear the voice of God, but I think he puts it in our heart and in our mind. And when we pray about it and ask God, I really believe that God puts it in our heart what to do. But we have to listen to his word and listen to the voice of God and obey him without hesitation. And that's a big, big thing, isn't it? We have to serve as a dedicated servant, not on and off today. Serving today, but not tomorrow or next week. It is giving our life. Paul said, I'll spend and be spent in the service of my Lord. And we must keep our eye on the target. You know, if you don't really focus on that target, the chance of you being able to hit the bullseye is very remote. And then never, ever look back. Isn't that what Paul said? He said, I press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Putting these things behind me, he said, I reach forward unto God. And that is what we have to do. And when we do that, you hit the target, folks, and you will. Victory is in Christ our Lord. And we just have to keep trusting in him and to realize that he does all things well. Because let me tell you something. You will always miss the target without Jesus. You will. You're destined to fail. It will happen. We must stay focused on him. And I hope we are focused on him tonight. I hope that if your mind has not been on Jesus, that you'll get it on him tonight. Think about him. Think about what he did by going to the cross and giving his life a ransom for many. Think about how much he loves you tonight and doesn't want to see you hurt. But sometimes we inflict our own wounds because we're not focused on the right target. We're going to sing a song of encouragement tonight, an invitation, and perhaps maybe there'll be those here tonight, like this morning, who responded to the call of Jesus, and if you're not a Christian, you desire to obey the Lord and baptism, then certainly we stand ready and willing to assist you, or if you just simply want the prayers of the Lord's church in your behalf tonight, we're happy to do that as well. So let us stand and let us sing.